they call it the present?
Because it's a gift.
Because it's a gift.
We live.
Are we now? On worldwide? Worldwide? Worldwide?
Worldwide, worldwide.
Worldwide, live. We don't want to get tagged for a collective commons license on that song.
Oh, right.
Yeah, it didn't come from either of us. Are we live?
Adam and Christian bore each other to death. I spelt it B-O-R-E. Is that right?
Yeah, if we're going to be heaving our tusks into each other's guts. And if this is going to be a massacre.
So if we're bored, then what's the proper spelling?
B-O-R-E-D, if we're bored. Like if you're like bored, like not knowing what to do. But if we're bored, it means we're going to be stabbing each other with
something.
But we
bore each other to death. Like, oh my God, so boring.
Oh, yeah, no. I don't think that's good. I don't see that happening with us, dude.
But how do you spell that?
Bored? Like I'm bored?
Like boring each other. We bore each other to death.
Yeah, it's B-O-R-I-N-G.
Right.
Shouts out to Mrs. Stokes, my fourth grade English teacher.
Boring each other to death?
B-O-R-I-N-G. So shouts out to Elon Musk for the boring
B-O-R-E
company.
If we B-O-R-E each other to death.
B-O-R-E-E?
Just E.
Bore? B-O-R-E? B-O-R-E?
That's, that means we're...
That's both. I think it could be both.
Okay, good. So, all right.
We'll need to get clarification on that. Somebody, if we're live, if someone's watching, if someone could Googleize that for us, it'd be helpful.
And in the meantime, check out this new intro.
Welcome to the Most High Show, a show about recovery, spirituality, and all that. Produced, posted, and hosted by people in recovery who have strength and hope and want to share it with you. If you or someone you love is suffering, we want you to know you are not alone. This is the Most High Show.
That was it.
Was I in that intro?
Yeah, I think you are.
Oh, cool.
There's a second version of it, I think, that has...
Yeah, I'm looking at it.
That version might not have Troy in it.
Ah, freaking Troy.
Yeah, there's another version that has Troy in it.
You got to get in it something. Where you can get in it, Troy.
Troy.
I'm going to share this so we got it on both.
Oh, yeah, let's do that.
What do? I think I just pressed the share button and then, or start a watch party. Which
yeah,
one should I do?
Yeah, that's it, the watch party.
Okay, it's a watch party now.
Yeah. It's a party, it's a party, it's a party. Watch
bros.
Party, watch party.
So I spelled bros, B-R-O-S. Does that... Bros.
Bros.
Anyway, sure. Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show.
Just a couple of bros.
Bro Malones.
We're Bro Malone.
Starring, Bro Malone Cheese.
Starring Macaulay Culkin and me.
Bro Malinsky. This is a continuation of the bromance.
A couple of broman dingoes over here.
Ah, man. So I'm letting my hair grow out.
Can you see it?
Let's see a cut to the.
Yeah,
cut
get a
to this
close
shot
up.
There.
Get a close up of this hair.
Yeah.
If you guys can see, he's letting it grow.
It's messed up. It looks like I got alopecia right there on the side, but I don't.
What's alopecia?
That's when you just start losing your hair.
Oh yeah, right here. Yeah. Oh, one of my best friends has alopecia. Yeah.
I had a client, My Voluminous Hair, shout out to her. She, one of her ways she gives back, she sells hair extensions. And she does for way reduced costs for people who are suffering from alopecia, from either cancer treatment or leukemia or any other kind of like disease that makes you lose your hair. And she gives people wigs and hair pieces for free or reduced cost.
And she's been doing that for you?
She's been doing that for me.
Is that where you got this fresh cut?
I probably shouldn't joke about that.
You know, I mean, I've been cutting my own hair since the ninth grade with my own hair clippers. I've been doing my best. Am I on the camera?
Yeah.
So also a new thing has been these nose hairs.
Yeah.
I didn't know you had to cut them.
Oh.
And then I learned that you do.
Mm-hmm.
But once I started, I think they're growing more.
Yes. Yeah.
So
that seems accurate.
I feel like this is going to be a thing for the rest of my life.
Well, and then you get into your 40s and then hair grows in your ears. And that's just weird.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Manscaping is
a thing.
It is. I I guess while we're talking about it, I shaved my chest hair.
Oh, with like a razor?
No, with like clippers. With the same clippers that I cut my hair with. Literally, these clippers I use for everything.
Yeah.
Your imagination with like can a no, use the rest. I actually have separate ones for the down below stuff, actually. Okay. I don't know why, though, because it really, it's my hair. It shouldn't make a difference. It's not like
it's not the hair. It's what the hair is attached to.
Yeah, but it's probably less dirty down there because it's like covered by underwear.
It should be. It should be less dirty.
Anyway,
if it's not less dirty.
If anyone wants to borrow my clippers, I'm always willing to let people borrow them.
Just specify which ones you're trying to borrow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have we lost anybody yet?
Crab Rangoons.
Crab Rangoons.
Have you ever had any Crab Rangoons?
Yeah, I like those.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're getting together. We've been hanging out today. We've been doing some brainstorming, big picture stuff. I want to say, so I think I'm a part of a pair.
The fruit?
Well, no.
Oh, my bad.
Well, here's the thing. What I've noticed in my creative journey is that I seem to create better in a pair with someone else.
Right.
Well, my best work comes in that, in those, when there's two people working together towards a common place.
Right.
And so that's cool. And so you're one of those people who I get to partner with from time to time, and we do some things. And we had a brainstorming session with the whiteboard, and Leslie was in there with us, and we were kind of mapping out some things, ideas, that a while ago we wouldn't even think that they would be things that we would be talking about.
Right.
So it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
I like how the conversation went from outer big picture stuff on the whiteboard to inner personal fears like that.
Right.
Like it started with the big goals and dreams and what's going on around here in Most High, and it ended with what is it within you that you're trying to bring to awareness, or what is it about you that's preventing you from doing your best work?
Well, and it comes to rounds about back to me, because you know I'm alcoholic and it's all about me and how I feel.
Yeah.
I think let's just get to the point.
Yeah, it's
okay, that all sounds great, but let's talk a little bit more about me and how important I think I actually am.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it wasn't that.
Well, it's literally, we are our own worst enemy.
Yeah.
And our own insecurities, our own fears will prevent great things from happening.
Yeah, exactly. And hopefully as we continue to recover and discover our purpose, a greater sense of knowing who we are, that those things like the 9-step promises, right? Like, you know, before you know it, you know, painstaking about this phase of our development. Right?
We'll be amazed before we're halfway through.
We'll be amazed.
But there's a caveat to that. They read it and they talk about it all the time, but it's really talking about when you're halfway through the amends process.
Right.
And we're not in the amends process. We're not.
Well, we have been through it, right? Each of us in our own time. Right now, both of us are both going through the steps again.
Yeah, I am, yeah. I'm on 8.
Huh?
I'm on 8.
Oh, I'm on 4.
Okay.
I thought you were just at 5. I guess you just...
Yeah, I did 5, and then sponsor told me to go home and meditate for an hour, and then I did 6, 7, and then I wrote out 8, and I'll tell you something.
Please.
I'm doing something totally stupid, dude.
What is it?
I hate it.
Yeah.
He told me I need to write positive affirmations on my mirror.
Oh.
It's the lamest shit I've ever done in my entire life. Like, true to self, like, it is the lamest thing I've ever done. And I'm so, let's just say this is where I'm at right now in my life. I'm so out of ideas about what's best for me or what I should be doing that I'm literally willing to do anything. So
it's a good place to be.
Yeah. So I fucking wrote up things on the mirror and... Yeah.
What's one of them? Give us one.
Confident.
Ooh.
I don't feel confident. So the idea is to put one up there.
And whether you feel it or not.
Yeah, like these are things about yourself that you want to be better at or things you like about yourself?
Yeah. Well, I personally just got done with three, and this time around, three really hit hard. It's good. And there's a part in there, which is, we were talking about this yesterday, was that if you can't follow the directions of another human, then it's going to be probably hard for you to follow the direction of a unseen higher power. Well, at least my higher power is unseen. Well, unseen in the form of like matter and existence that my eye can see. Not so far as what my mind can see, because my mind can see it in action, but you know what I'm saying? Not in a physical way.
No, I want to keep you. It sounds like you're describing that which is indescribable.
Right.
I'm interested to hear.
Yeah, because this is going to go downhill quick. So the concept of listening and following direction of my sponsor and doing that was great direction. I'm glad I read that, and I'm glad I started to follow it, because that is, you know, that's a pathway to peace. You know, discipline is a pathway to peace, and disciplining myself to call and talk about stuff and then listen to the suggestion and then do the suggestion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Regardless of how you feel about it or I feel about it.
Right.
Just because, all right, so this was where it caught me up is, I guess my brain intellectualized this afterwards, but it's an issue that I can see positive things in you and other people.
Right.
But I'm not willing to do it about myself.
Right. Ditto.
Yeah.
Same thing.
But this relates to what we were just doing in your office.
Right.
Which is, you know, we're observing not only what's going on in the studio and with Most High, but also you. You know, we're have an objective opinion and an objective take. We're seeing things you can't see.
Yeah. Blind spots. Yep.
Yeah. Because like the show's happening around you. Like everything that you're experiencing is around you. But to me, you're a character in my life.
Right. Right. Right.
And so it's like if I'm playing Sims or if I'm playing Baldur's Gate 2 or any RPG and I'm looking at the character, I'm like, how would I best utilize this person's assets, talents, and traits? You know, that's the space I was advising from or sharing my opinion of in that room.
Yeah. Well, and that's good. And that's helpful. And it's hard to open yourself up to that kind of information. What's interesting is there's a concept called the golden shovel, where you ask questions and you give someone the ability to find the answer on their own.
Mm.
And there's studies behind this. It's a mode of therapy, but there's studies behind
a modality.
It, a modality that says, this light's off, that says that when someone discovers it on their own, the likelihood of that sticking is much higher. And so the process that we kind of went through, we, through that process, unearthed things within myself that I already knew to be true.
Right.
It was just the confirmation of like, oh, shit, we all got here. It's like we're back at the same little treasure trove that's sticking out of the sand of the shipwreck.
So what was it
The
that we got to?
That's not to be streamed.
It's personal. It's personal.
It's about making decisions and moving in directions and doing things as necessary.
I mean everything.
On one level, it's all bullshit.
Well, no. Well, the bullshit is the rationalization and the things our brain is telling us
about what
we think we need or what we think we should do.
Right. Right.
But it always, it seems to me, it always kind of boils down to fear. It's like, am I going to operate in fear or operate in faith?
Right. Good. That's so true. I mean, and I think also what boils down to me, what I'm learning about myself is that time is something that I have placed a lot of value on. And that, so for me, like repeating myself or wasting time is something I don't like to do, you know? And even thinking about like boredom, right? Like when I was a kid, I had times of boredom. I was bored at times. But even boredom doesn't feel like a waste of time, right? Boredom offers the opportunity for the imagination to come alive, for thoughts and concepts anew to bubble to the top and pop, and you discover something because you sat there and in silence stared out the car or window.
And does that work?
I think it does. I think, like, my kids, looking at my kids as we traveled to New York and back this weekend, they was on their phones the whole time. And I just kind of, I'm looking out the window. I'm just watching the world go by. You know what I mean? Like tripping out, like watching these trees.
Come in.
Huh? The mics are mono.
What?
They're only coming out of one ear. We got input from our executive producer
Andrew LaCosta, the Costa with the Mosta.
How's that? Is that better? Is that better?
We want speaker. Is
microphone
it speakers?
Microphone check. Well, in most cases, phones will probably summit to mono anyway. But good. I appreciate that. Thanks a lot, EP.
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 Executive producer.
He's
Andrew
the
LaCosta.
EPZ.
Let it go.
Oh, that's two on two.
Won't you know you let it go? Let
yeah.
it know.
Bored. When was the last time you were
let
bored?
Let it snow. I don't get bored.
You're immune to boredom?
Yeah, it doesn't happen to me. That's why I was so fascinated.
So our description is...
Well, you were that's what I read something in an article, or I was listening to a podcast the other day that said that like you like put yourself in a space to be bored, so what you was describing will happen.
Yeah.
I was like, man, I'm never bored. Maybe I should try to get myself bored.
Well, I think what you might be calling bored and what others are calling bored is maybe might seem like you might be expecting boredom to be something for you that it's not, right? Because your mind's never, maybe to you, boredom is just shutting down the brain and the brain's done. But boredom actually isn't that. Boredom is like, you want to move and you can't move. There's nothing to move to. Do you remember being bored as a kid at all?
Yeah, yeah. As a kid, yeah.
Take me back. Let's go back. When was a time, you can remember off the top of your head, a time that you were bored?
The last time I felt really bored, man, this is tough to say. I guess the last two times I was bored, I went and used drugs.
Oh. Ooh.
Yeah, that's the first time was when I went to my first treatment center, and... When I was at this treatment center, it was a 90-day program, and they gave you a therapeutic leave, which means you get to go home for 24 hours, and then they bring you back. And I was so excited to go home because it was the first time I was ever in rehab. It was the first time I was ever taken away from my environment. And all I could think about the whole time I was there was, I can't wait to get home and play my guitar.
And I get home.
I go up to my playroom in my parents' house and grab the guitar out, and I just start shredding, and I'm like ripping it and having the best time ever. And I finish playing, and I look at my watch, and I'd only been home for 15 minutes. And I was totally bored. I was just like, what the fuck do I do now?
Right.
And then I started hitting people up, and I used drugs.
On your 24-hour leave?
I set the pieces in motion to be able to get stoned.
And did you?
Oh, yeah. Oh. I had people sneak in stuff while I was at the rehab.
Wow.
And then the second time that I was bored, I pulled up to a red light, and that's when I went to the Bluffs for the first time. It was like I was 90 days sober, got done having lunch with my dad. Everything on the horizon was hopeful. I'm at a red light, and the thought of all the stuff back at the apartment like was not appealing. And then something flipped in my brain and was like, you should go get stoned, and I did.
Cool.
So those are the last two times I was bored.
Interesting. You don't want to climb up on a mountain without a cell phone, sit on a rock, look at the horizon.
See, that doesn't sound boring at all.
Right. That's interesting, yeah. It sounds boring to me at some point. Everything is boring to me at some point. Like, I'm nearing boredom now.
Well, you're welcome. let's stay away from the drug talk then.
No. I mean, whatever that is for you, you know, that's interesting. I'm just saying, go up to a mountain because, like, then you have no distractions. There's nothing to keep you, you know. And as beautiful as a sunset is, you know, you get bored of it at some point.
You know, I've been known to literally meditate myself into a manic state of depression. That's happened before. because I'll sit, I'll literally sit on a couch for an hour and a half waiting for being told what to do. And like how you described that as boredom, but there was nothing boring about it for me. I was just meditating into manic depression is really what I'd refer to it as. So like, yeah, I don't know. The subject of boredom for me is, I relate to that the same way we were talking earlier about knowing I'm going to die and thinking it could happen any day.
Goes to the time thing, right? That's the other thing we're talking about is time and how we value time because we're not sure how much of it we have left.
Right.
And if in reality, it's the only commodity that once you give it away, you can't get it back.
Right.
Right.
But it's also an infinite commodity because it's always there.
At the same time. Right. Exactly. And so this concept of a finite amount of time is not foreign. I mean, it's been around for years. A lot of different faith traditions will look at it. You know, you got Jesus's teachings on it, talking about no man is promised tomorrow. You know, there are other philosophies and thoughts out there that kind of center around that kind of same concept that all you have is today, you know, right? The only you have is the present moment. The past hasn't happened yet. I mean, the past has happened and the future hasn't happened yet, right? So the only place is actual reality is the present, right? Those kind of thoughts. And so to bring yourself into the present moment and then to consider that, okay, how much time do I have? I love the, and we talked about that, like the, initially, the thought of all I got is 24 hours. All I got to do is stay sober for 24 hours. All I got to do is not be a dick for 24 hours, right? Like, let's lower the bar. I just, 24 hours is all I have to really manage. But at the same time, I think you and I are both creatives. And so some of the things that we want to create and design and architect and then influence the culture and the world with take more than 24 hours to develop.
Yeah, you got to have patience and discipline.
Gotta have patience. Yeah.
Well, I mean, we want what we want when we want it. That's like one of my main issues is like, even to the point of like, I'm glad you went live on this thing because like, I love doing my podcast and knowing I'm going to release it the same day. I don't want to wait around.
Right.
But some of the best things and like the record I'm working on, like it's taking time, it's taking patience, discipline. Like it's not going to be an overnight process.
Right.
Some things you have to just let go and like do what you can that day, but then let go.
Yeah. That doesn't sound like fun at all.
It's not fun. It's like literally it's a skill that I've had to learn how to do because my brain doesn't know how to detach from things it cares about.
Right. Yeah. That's interesting. So we decided to go live. One of the reasons why was we were sitting in there watching Bed Griffith documentary about this Benedictine monk who at the age of 51 left the monastic life of a Catholic monk
basically. Yeah.
And a Benedictine order, which is a unique order, and then went to India to practice or develop an understanding of Hinduism, and then ended up living there, and he was revered as a yogi there, and or a guru. And so we were tripping out on that and watching it and then realizing that you had traffic and that you were kind of stuck.
Stranded, yeah.
You were stranded.
Out here.
Right. What were some of the things? Do you remember anything that Bede Griffith said?
I loved what he was saying about sex.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That was deep.
Yeah, he was basically saying that we have to, like, the sexual, and when I say sexual, I mean, like, intimate or romantic, like, exchange of energy between male or female, or male-male, or female-female. We don't discriminate.
Right.
But that intimate exchange of shared love and romantic expression, to have the most profound effect in that experience, it has to be consecrated.
Yeah, yeah.
And when he said consecrated, it's basically, and this is how my brain interpreted it, is setting your intention and setting like, looking at it as something that it could be or should be. You know, I'll throw the word spiritual out there loosely because in essence, if done right, you cease to exist. You create harmony and unity between you and another individual.
Yeah.
It's an empty expression, a pleasurable expression of selfless love.
Yeah, he was even, one of the things he said is that he was quoting from a book. And what was that book? He said that, hold on, I'm trying to set up a AB. Oh, look at that. That's tight.
Are we double timed?
I'm just going to lean. Oh, this way. Yeah. See that? Look at that.
Oh, this is.
Split screen.
This is shared love right here.
Yeah, we're talking about love.
Split screen love.
So,
hold on.
To become one. Yeah, that it
we're
was
turn
consecrated.
It
that was the difference. That was the word he used. That there's something. He used the word holy, too, which holy means set apart, right? That he wasn't talking about this just a physical kind of lustful exchange of body fluids. He was talking about something that was more than that, and how. And the similarities to when that happens at that level to something that is transfigurative in the same way that an encounter with God or the higher power is transfiguring.
Yeah.
Was really, the way he worded it was more eloquent than I just did, but pretty interesting stuff. And what's interesting about it is like we're taught, at least I was taught for some reason, somewhere along the line, I got the information that sex was dirty, that it was bad. Somewhere. I don't know where I picked that up.
Or it was something that you got.
Uh-huh. Right.
Like it's something you had to go seek out to get. Like, I'm going to go get laid. I mean, what right. is that movie? Sex Drive's one of those movies. Jason, what's the one where they have sex with the pie? What is that?
Oh, American Pie.
Yeah, like that was like, you know, you go figure out how to get laid.
Right.
That's kind of in the cultural zeitgeist everywhere. It's like it's something that you go out and do.
Right. We consume sex and sexual energy like a drug.
Yeah. It's marketed to us the same way clothes is, the same way prescription or anything. It's just, it's been culturalized. And what he was bastardized. Basically talking about bastardized. What he was talking about was basically like the union of two souls, in essence, sharing an intimate moment.
Yeah.
You know, and it just reminded me of times I've had that. And it is something like, it's just indescribable. Like he read a quote from D.H. Lawrence who basically described it. And it's like one of those things where it's like, you know, I couldn't repeat what he wrote, but it was like, it was just like, that's true. That's what it feels like.
Yeah. I'm replying to my boy, Larry M. Newton.
Larry, what
Larry,
up?
Larry, I'm
going to
tell you what, man. Larry, okay, so like I thought I was a designer, mm-hmm. and then Larry started working at Steve Harvey with us. Boy, Larry's a designer.
I thought you were about to put up a picture of Larry.
I wish I had a picture of Larry.
I mean, dude,
this guy, you know, you give him an idea, a concept, and he'll paint it to life. He can illustrate it in Illustrator. You know, he can motion design it. He can cut it up together. I mean, it's just, that's a designer. That's an artist, someone who thinks, and I can design to get to an end.
Right.
Right? To accomplish a goal.
Yeah, function can, or like.
Right.
But functional. It doesn't look pretty at all.
Right. Well, thanks a lot. Appreciate that.
No offense. I'm the same way.
Yeah. So, there's just a difference between someone who really does that. And that's Larry M. Newton. LMN.
Is he on watching right now?
Let me see.
Shouts out, Larry.
I replied to him. Is he still on? I can't tell if he's on.
Yeah. So, what else you want to talk about? I'm bored.
Yeah, see, there it is.
I'm going to go get high. I'm out of here.
Yeah. That's it. I mean, just one of the things we talked about was, you know, the value of having this space, the value of getting together here, being able to be creative, create content like this, that it's twofold, that there's the actual content, the creation of it, the execution of it, the distribution of it. Right.
Mm-hmm.
The little clips on social media, the long term consumption of it on a long format on the app or
but really,
podcast.
So allow me to interrupt. But really, it was about your attention. Where is your attention and your focus?
Right. That's ultimately where we landed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. But we also talked about the value of the actual process of creating the content.
Oh, yeah. Well, right? How? Yeah.
And the fact that people having this space here and being able to have a creative outlet to share our stories, you know, this is the most ancient form of human communication is story, you know?
Yeah, storytelling, for
right?
sure.
I mean, you think about the glyphics or whatever.
The hieroglyphics. The hieroglyphs.
You know, yeah, where they draw them.
The hippogriffs.
Stories. The hypocrites. The Hippocratic Oath.
Yeah, the right. the hypodermic.
Yeah, and then the hypodermic needles. Okay. And the hippopotamuses.
Yeah, the hippopotamuses.
Hippopotamus. Jeez. Yeah, so, I mean, story is the way we communicate, ultimately. Mm-hmm. The medium in which stories are being told is different now than it was. There's more ways that happens. And the more things change, the more they stay the same, blah, blah, blah. But the fact that people get together and come to share the story. Somebody shared, I think it was Bianca. We released her story, and she created a post where she took a screenshot of her story in the app, and she said that she was having a really rough day, probably the closest she had had. She put this out publicly, so I'm not telling on nobody. And that she had a really rough day, and then she got the notification that her story went live.
Mm.
And it kind of put things in perspective, the day for her. Because she said, oh, that's right. Like, I'm suffering right now for a reason.
Mm.
You know, the give others strength and hope. You know, that sometimes sobriety might not be all that sexy, and it might not be feeling like you want to continue to it. But to know that as your story continues to be told, that it's continuing to give others hope and strength, that you can make it. And then you can remember that somebody else is a little behind you, a couple steps behind you, and they're looking forward and they're reaching out and they just need a little help up. And that's, you know, that's all we got to do is stay sober for the day, stay in connection with our higher power for the day, and do the next right thing and hope for the best. And that's what she kind of got that in that. She was reminded of that, you know, when her story got posted live. So that's an impact, right? And how many lives, like, when's it worth it? Right. That's ultimately, like, we had some numbers up there about the amount of money it takes to run and operate this nonprofit. And it's like, okay, what number is the number that equals success, right? Like, how many dollars? Is it $1,000 that we can equate to the touch of a life and go, okay, yeah, that seems about right. You know what I'm saying? Like, what's a life worth? What's the possible interaction that something that we've created or something we've done here in these rooms could change the trajectory of somebody's life to the better? What's that dollar amount? You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
It's around $30,000 probably.
But that's why I felt like the conversation I don't want to use the word de-evolved, but it de-loused itself into the comatorium of your mind. And, right. And that's a shout out to the Mars Volta, by the way, de-loused the comatorium, but one of the best albums ever. But essentially what it did is, because it's truly about your experience being the center of this thing, is like, you know, how we are all doing our best to help and be present in the people's lives of those we care about, but we create a ripple effect.
Yeah.
And my tuning fork, however my tuning fork is aligned, is going to affect the people I encounter on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah.
And we're lucky. And that was the craziest part to me about looking at the board and the stuff and the money that's in here. And all of it, I was like, we're lucky to have this platform.
Right.
And so it's like, as being a captain, which you are, mm-hmm. you're the captain of the most high ship.
Yeah.
And we're fucking high. No, this is the most high ship. You're the captain, dude. Right. We may not be stoned, but we stay blitzed in the most high. So you're the captain of the ship, which means that your what you choose to do is going to decide how many people get affected positively. And how much impact it has and right. how it quantifies and multiplies.
Right. No pressure.
No pressure at all, but the stakes are high, dude. They're the most high. But, I mean, that's really what it is, because I don't think there is a value worth, because everybody's out doing great things. You know, there's all sorts of companies and enterprises and Instagram influencers and people that have millions of followers and all that stuff, you know, but they're not you. They're never going to be you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And because you're you and because I'm me, we have a unique way of expressing and communicating our own truth.
Yeah.
And that's going to affect people that won't be affected by any of the others. So it's really just about honing in on what that truth is.
And that's ultimately what the studio is about. The studio is to say, you know, like you're different. Like you know how to execute. You can sit down in front of your laptop and hook up the equipment and come up with the idea, record the podcast, edit it up, and upload it. Most people don't have that ability.
Yeah, it took a lot of years learning how to do that.
Right. So for those people who have the desire, right, they know their tuning fork is ringing and they want it to resonate with somebody else. That's the purpose and the big idea for Most High Media, right?
We
want to take your tuning fork that's resonating and we want to put it up against these microphones. Resonated out, and because, yeah, my tune is going to resonate with certain people, but like we have the Rule 62 show, when you know that what they're doing and what they're saying is resonating differently with other people than the way that me and you sitting over here pontificating will, but you and I will hit somebody in a certain way as well. So that's the big idea, is like, how can we cultivate enough people who want to share and get that out there and reach the maximum amount of people. And then also to be able to sustain it. It takes time. You know, what's it? Clean living plus right thinking over time equals
a clean. Is that a math equation? Are you doing math right now?
It's something I learned 8 years ago in rehab. Or didn't learn. Yeah.
It sounds like physics math.
It was hard. It was hard because I was still high. Yeah, man. I mean, that's the thing. Like, you know, I guess sometimes you lose motivation, and that's one of the things we kind of settled on, man. It was really weird. We hit this moment, the music in the room changed, and I kind of was like, oh, I'm scared.
Yeah, right at that, dude. Right when we got to the source, right when we got to the fear, because everything usually is coming from a fear. And once you get to that fear, it's like, tears in your eyes, and then the music changed to just like,
that's crazy. Yeah.
It was like the saddest song you'd ever heard.
Well, and that's like, to be real, like I've done a lot of different things. I've started a lot of bands. I've started rap groups. I've started businesses. I've tried a lot of different things. And most of them haven't turned out as I've desired them to. I had a goal in mind and I didn't reach that goal.
Right.
So there's a little bit of that kind of kicked dog syndrome a little bit, like, dare I try again?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And, you know, to the point of like talking about influencers, right? Like someone like freaking, you know, be cliche, but quote a Gary Vee. But, you know, like Gary Vee's kind of message overall is like, you know, good. Learn. You failed. Good. You know. You learn something. Andy over here, he has a motivation that he listens to every morning.
Executive producer Andy?
Our executive producer.
Okay, good.
And he listens to one, and it's Denzel Washington talking about not having a plan B. You don't want to fall back. You know, it's like, I'd rather fall forward.
Yeah.
The concept that where I am now is the accumulation of all the failures I've had.
Uh-huh.
All my successes are the accumulation of all the failures. And that's great in concept, right? It's great in concept to go like, okay, yeah, let's follow Jesus. Let's live this life of service to God and man. And then you actually step out and try and live it,
mm-hmm.
right? The principles at play in reality is a much different thing in application. So you can talk around and preach like, oh, yeah, all your failures accumulate, but reality, man, it's a touchy thing. It's like, dang, man, here we go again. Like, can we, should we, you know what I'm saying? Like those kind of plaguing thoughts. And just because I happen to be, you know, captain of the ship doesn't place me above that kind of vulnerability or tendency to self-doubt and desire to some days, you know, like I still got my pajamas on, you know what I'm saying? Like I got out of the house, but I really wanted to crawl in bed today and just stay hidden, but faced it and did what I needed to do. And we had a great meeting. I appreciate you coming out here and spending your time in service.
Bros, dude, that's what we do. We've been at it for a minute now.
Yeah, man. The most bro show.
It's been, I mean, that's what it's about, I think, is just we want to feel good about what we're doing and we want to face the challenges as they arise, you know. Yeah. But we need other people. We need help.
Larry says, this is a powerful show, loving the growth and evolution of it. My man. Me and Larry, we got to connect, dude. Definitely. Love what you're doing. Such a talent, man. Larry and Alonzo, those two guys together, that was pretty... We were a pretty crazy crew right there.
Was it working with Harvey back in the day?
Yeah, we were working with Harvey.
Cool.
Yeah, they brought those guys in. So, yeah, man, it's been an evolution. And so we're at 41 minutes.
Really? That went quick, man. That means it was good. It was fun.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to add? Working on your record.
Yeah.
You're continuing to do Inside the Mind's Eye.
Yeah, when it feels right.
I'd love to encourage you in public to do another one of those meditation things.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Bro, that was good. I think I told you about that.
Yeah, yeah.
That was powerful. And I love how it was the hour meditation in 30 minutes.
Yeah.
None of your shows are really an hour long.
Yeah, it's the sound bath meditation hour, but it's only 20 minutes.
Yeah. So I really enjoyed that. And I, for somebody in my conversations with you who... seems to deal with that fear just like me. You know, when I look at you and the amount and the quality of content you put out and the amount of content you put out, I don't see you as somebody who's struggling with that. I see you as someone who's come completely alive and is sharing everything. And a lot of your essays too. I mean, that was the first thing I ever saw that came from you creatively was a couple of your essays that you posted. Mm-hmm. And it was one that was really deep and trippy. And I was
every
like,
one of those, I'm scared when I press publish.
Really?
Every single one of them. I hide from the internet for 24 hours after I press
publish. Oh, yeah, I've done that before.
So every single one.
Yeah. Well, I think there's a lot of people, it's evident by the engagement you get on them, that they're meaningful and they touch a lot of people. And I admittedly get halfway through.
Putter out.
Putter out. Yeah. I'm like, how long is this? I scroll to the bottom. I'm like, oh, that's a little long.
Most of them end with just me talking about how gay I am for Bruce Lee. They end with me just confessing love to Bruce Lee.
Yeah. There's worse people to fall in love for.
Nah, he's one of my top five hetero soulmates on this planet.
I have one. Richard Rohr, I think, is mine.
Ah, Rick Rohr.
Rick Rohr.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not to be confused with Rick Roll. Never gonna give you. Never gonna give.
Or Ric Flair.
Or Ric Flair. Woo.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't want to confuse that.
Yeah. Rick Astley.
That's it.
That's Rick Roll, I think.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
That's when you get Ashley'd or whatever.
When you get Rick Rolled, it's Rick Astley singing, Never gonna give you up.
Yeah. We need to start one for What Is Love?
Hathaway'd?
Yeah. Don't hurt me.
No more.
Have you ever heard Eminem and Lil Wayne? They remix that song.
Wait. Love? Yeah. I have heard that.
Don't help me.
They did a good echo on the love part. Actually, I remember listening
that, to me. That's Eminem's hands down best album.
Which one is it?
Was it called Recovery?
Ah,
with the Cold Wind Blows and it's got. I'm not afraid to carry on.
If you could have lunch with any person who's alive on the planet right now, you get to have a lunch date with them. Who would you choose? And you can't choose your wife.
trying to get points. Trying to get snuggles tonight.
You can't choose anyone in your immediate family.
I think Richard Rohr would be amazing.
Rich Rohr.
Yeah. I'd love to just bro out with him and not get theological, but like just kind of talked about him and his life and his story, his personal, like kind of where he struggles, where his fears are, where his concerns are, you know, mm-hmm. I would love to just sit down and talk about that with him.
Hmm.
Yeah. I've sent media requests to him before and we get turned down, but we can try. How about you? Lunch with anybody alive.
And so I've got a list of podcasts I want to have, but lunch is different than a podcast.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So if I could have lunch with anybody on the planet, and who would I want to have lunch with? Ooh. Oh, man. Yolandi from Die Antwoord.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
Yeah. I just want to get to know you, Yolandi.
Yeah.
That's it.
Now, what about dead or alive?
Dead or alive? If I could have lunch with someone who is
dead.
Dead?
Yeah.
Like through the history of time?
Yeah.
Lao Tzu, nah, wouldn't choose Lao Tzu. That would be boring as shit, talking to Lao Tzu. It'd just be like talking to the wind. There would be nothing from that. Huh. That's a good question. Do you have one of who you'd be dead? Who you'd want to talk to that was dead?
My grandfather, my Pepe.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because, you know, now sober, 8 years sober, I think I see him now, and I'd love to sit with him and just bro out with him.
Hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like I'd understand a little more whatever wisdom he had for me that I didn't get in my youth.
Oh, that's a good one.
Shouts out to Pepe.
I'm trying to think of if there's a conspiracy theory where somebody was killed or... Jeffrey Epstein. You'd be able to tell me what really happened. Although, I wouldn't care.
Well, we know what happened.
Yeah, we know what happened. He killed himself. So, no, he didn't kill himself. I messed up the meme, guys.
Dang.
It's lucky we don't have millions of followers, dude, because I'd be trolled for the rest of the week, probably. But I don't know. If I had to choose someone who'd been gone to have lunch with, man, that's a tough one. I feel like, I don't know the answer to that one.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I'm trying to sell my car, and the guy's here.
So nice. Show's over.
Show's over. Trying to get game this
over.
Money.
Game over, guys. Game over.
Thank you guys for listening. Thank you to everybody who supports by watching and sharing and liking. And thank you to everyone who supports financially, who gives. It's so meaningful, man. Seriously, like to know like people are putting their money down. And people talk a lot of game, man. And it's those silent people, man, that just every month they give. I mean, there's somebody who gives $250 a month. Man. That's a lot.
Yeah, it is.
To give to something, they're not an addict.
That's almost how much I pay for rent.
Whoa. They're not an addict.
I am a Jew.
Yeah.
But no, it's huge. Like, and anytime anybody shares anything, comments, watches, it's like...
Oh, it's all meaningful.
It's so cool because it's, we're just trying to... I like what you were saying earlier is like, I would love to see more people with voices that are like just uniquely their own, you know?
Yeah.
And
get it out.
Just get it out, dude.
All right, we're going to drop that intro one more time on you and then we out, Chia.
Can you leave the mics on?
Sure.
Okay, cool. Drop that heat.
Welcome to the Most High Show, a show about recovery, spirituality, and all that. Produced, posted, and hosted by people in recovery who have strength and hope and want to share it with you. If you or someone you love is suffering, we want you to know you are not alone. This is the Most High Show.